Well, we have been in a series of messages called A Life-Changing Experiment. And the idea of this has been to live moment by moment with Jesus. Well, before we get into the message, I do want to talk about this weekend. It's been a great weekend. We had the ladies' retreat on Friday night and had a great group. Many of you participated in that. Also, Saturday, we had Be the Church Day, and all across our community, we had just real practical ways of showing Christ's love, and lots of you participated in that also. And I have to tell you, I talked to several folks that were the recipients of what Crestview did yesterday, and they just expressed their appreciation and wanted me to tell you guys how much they appreciated your efforts in that way. And we want to continue in our community in very practical ways to show the love of Jesus. And we have been in this series of messages called this life-changing experiment. And the idea has been to prepare ourselves for Easter. I think it's always great to do that, to spiritually prepare ourselves and get ready. And one of the ways to do that is to live moment by moment, thinking about, focusing in on what Jesus would have for each one of us. Well, let me tell you a little bit about last week. I wasn't here last week. I appreciate Michael speaking last week. And I want to tell you a little bit about my week last week. We had some friends that have been friends for 20, 30 years. And they called us up and said, we're going to be at a conference. And would you guys like to meet us and spend some time together? And we said, that's great. Because we hadn't had the opportunity to do that for a while. And so it was a great opportunity to kind of reconnect with them and some real good friends. And I said, great, where are we going to go? And they said, Las Vegas. So it puts a whole different kind of spin on it to think, living moment by moment with Jesus in Las Vegas. Okay, so that was my week last week. So in that week, I want to just share this with you. I thought, well, what would be fun to do in Las Vegas that a Baptist pastor can do? All right. So I thought, here we go. The thing that would be fun to do would be, I would like to see if I could be on a television show. And so I just kind of on a whim decided I'd try to go for that. How many of y'all have ever heard of, it's on the History Channel, it's a show called Pawn Stars, like a pawn shop. How many of y'all know this show? Well, I got filmed on that show while I was in Las Vegas. I want to show you this picture. That's me being very photogenic, as you can tell. I'm always good on camera, just great on camera. And I actually had the opportunity to be, I'm one of those people that come in the pawn shop with something to sell. And actually they filmed that last Friday from like 8 to 11:30. We filmed that spontaneous 5 minutes on the show. It's really 3.5 hours of filming, just to let you know. And so I'll let you know when it's going to be on TV. I don't know. It'll be probably 2 or 3 months. And so that kind of made the whole week interesting. But part of the process was, even in Las Vegas, even in Midland, no matter where we are, as how do you live abiding, remaining in Jesus moment by moment? Well, I think we need to start with the goal and to understand God's goal for you and God's goal for me. And here it is. God's goal for you is that you would bear fruit, that you would be a fruitful person. Now, we're going to talk about what that means and what that's all about, but that's God's goal for you, that you would bear fruit. And so we want to go back to a passage we looked at a couple weeks ago, which is the key passage about remaining and abiding in Jesus, which is John 15. So let's take a look at John 15. We're going to start in verse 5 and look at some of the things the Bible tells us, that God tells us about this process of remaining, abiding in Jesus, and bearing fruit. So here's what John 15:5 says. It says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now here's the thing. You have a goal and some wonderful things will happen in your life, and you will try to do in your life some wonderful things. Some things for God at times. Now here's the thing. Your job, your goal is not to do wonderful good things. Your job is to abide in Jesus, to remain in Jesus. Now there's a big difference here. Because see, if you do good stuff on your own, that's really not going to make any lasting difference. Because without Jesus, what's it worth? It's worth nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. And so it's a process of learning to remain, stay connected moment by moment in our life with our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions, and to follow His plan for our lives. Without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Now, as you look at that verse, it says, you will bear much fruit if you do this. Now, so we have this choice to either bear fruit or not bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit is this process where the Bible talks about several different places. One of the places talks about fruit of the Spirit. This is Galatians chapter 5. It talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all considered fruit of the Spirit. Those things come out of your life because you remain, because you abide in Jesus. So understand the goal. The goal is, your focus is to be on your relationship with Jesus. If you focus there, then you bear fruit. Then you have this abiding, remaining in Jesus. It's not, I need to do some good stuff. It's that if you abide in Jesus, then He helps you go down those paths that He has for you. It's all the difference in the world, which path you take there. Now, Jesus goes on and He says, now this is a big deal because understand what happens when you don't abide. Let's now go to verse 6. Notice what it says. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. In Ezekiel 15 in the Old Testament, it talks about how that vine branches really aren't good for a whole lot. They're not strong. They're real fragile. You can't build anything out of that. It's just not good for anything except one thing. The one thing that vine branches are good for is to bear fruit. And so the idea here, and this kind of is a verse I want to pay attention to, because Jesus is saying, understand, I want you to abide, because otherwise you're just trying to do things on your own, and without me, it's not going to be worth anything. You have to abide in me. Now Jesus goes on, and now look at verses 7 and 8. Notice what He says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, one of the things that's going to happen is that you are, when you abide and remain in Jesus, is that you're going to pray. Now, it's a great thing to have times of prayer. You know, we might do that at a meal. We might do that in the morning or the evening or a certain time I want to pray, and that's really great. But what Jesus is talking about here is more of this kind of ongoing praying. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean you have your eyes closed and you just pray all the time. What that means is you just have this ongoing, because you have this ongoing a relationship remaining in Jesus, you just have this ongoing conversation with Jesus. You're listening, you're talking, you're involved in that. And it'd be like this. That when something good happens, your first reaction would be, God, I just want to thank you for that. That's from you. I appreciate that. And you have an attitude where you're very grateful, and so you express that. Or maybe during your day, someone comes to your mind, and you go, oh, I'm just going to stop right now, and I'm going to pray for that person. Or maybe something bad happens, or you're at a crossroads, or you're about to talk to somebody, and you're not exactly sure what you're going to say, or you're afraid you're going to say the wrong thing. Or at that moment, you'd go, Jesus, please help me with my words and my choices right now, because this is going to be a big deal, what I say and what I do right now. You see, it's that kind of process, an ongoing process. It's kind of like this. The more that I love my wife, Alta Lynn, the more that I want her to know about my thoughts and what's going on during the day and everything about my whole day. If I were to say, Athlyn, I just want you to know about this part of my life. I'm going to, you know, anything that happens on Tuesday, I'm going to tell you about. Everything else, I'm not really going to tell you about. Well, that would be a strange relationship. Well, Jesus wants that kind of relationship with you that is not this just one day, but it's all the time, where we love Him so much that we just thank Him, talk to Him, hear from Him, respond to Him moment by moment in our day. And that's the picture of abiding, remaining in Jesus. And when that happens, we bear fruit. We have an impact with our lives on other people, in God's plan, in God's purpose. It's a huge thing to remain, to abide. And it all starts with this goal. You've got to bear fruit. You've got to be part of that kind of process. Now, there's a condition there in verses 7 and 8. The condition is, when you pray, whatever you pray for needs to be for God's glory. Not selfishly, not for anybody else's glory, but for God's glory. Now, what does that mean? God's glory means that God is not just a concept or an idea, but he is a reality in your life, and you live that way. Because you live that way, your life is changed. That means you're living for his glory. And the things that you focus in on are not for your glory, but for his glory. And so that's the kind of prayer that takes place. Now, to understand how to abide and to remain so that we can bear fruit, we need to understand how God made us. This is how God made me and how God made you. There's different aspects of our lives that have to be given to God so that we can abide in Jesus, that we can remain in Jesus. So let's talk about these different aspects. The first aspect is that God made you so that you have a will. You have a will. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means you have a kingdom. Now, some of us wish that the whole world was our kingdom, but there really is just a limited area of your life that you're in charge of. That means it's a part of your life that you can decide about. You can make choices about. And from the very beginning of creation, God gave this kind of idea of a kingdom. Take a look with me. This is in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. And notice what God says to Adam and Eve in the garden. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Now, at the very beginning, Adam and Eve are given a kingdom. They get to rule over some stuff. Well, we get to rule over some stuff. We have this will. And if you're going to abide in Jesus, if you're going to remain in Jesus, you have to give your will over to Jesus. It's kind of like this. Let's think about a two-year-old. Think with me about a two-year-old. What is a two-year-old's favorite word? Well, some of y'all said the second one. We're going to go there in a minute. Number one word I would say is no. No. I mean, a two-year-old can go, I'm not going to do it. No. Come over here. No. Because they are learning they've got a kingdom, and they want their kingdom to get bigger. They want to be in charge of their kingdom. They want you to be in their kingdom and them tell you what to do. And so they're going to say no. What's a two-year-old's second favorite word? Mine. You see, they got a kingdom, and they want some stuff to stay in their kingdom. You can't have it, brother and sister. They can't have this stuff because this is my kingdom. I don't want anybody messing with my kingdom. So this is mine. It's even as a two-year-old, we start learning we have this kingdom because we got a will. Now, what is a two-year-old's third favorite word? Well, obviously, we know that. That's daddy. Daddy. I mean, that's obvious. Because researchers have told us that daddies are the one who bring the most nurturing into a child's life, caring. And I just made that up out of my own will just now. Because will is kind of where you get creative and you make some choices. So I just chose to kind of make that third one up. You see, we have this will, this choice. But think about with me, what did Jesus always say when it came to these choices? He would say, "Father, I kind of want this. But you know, not my will be done, your will be done." That's part of abiding and remaining and how you bear fruit is that you and I will go through our day moment by moment. And let me just tell you, that means in your day, you're going to have to do this lots of times. Because you're going to go, "This is the way I think it would be. This is what I think." Because it's about your kingdom. But if you and I are going to abide in Jesus, often, regularly, we're going to be going, "I kind of want this. But God, I don't want my will. I want your will." And it's giving over our will to God so he shows us which way to go. Now, the Bible has another word for will that uses this a lot, and that's our heart. So take a look with me at this verse out of Proverbs. This is Proverbs 4:23. And notice what it says. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let me tell you what your life is made out of. It is made out of your choices. The choices that you make determine your whole life. And so the Bible says you need to guard your heart. You need to guard your will. You need to guard yourself, because when you say, I want my will to be done, God, I don't really care about your will right now. I want my will to be done. You will go down some paths that will lead you to some very bad places. And you definitely will not be abiding, remaining in Jesus Christ. Not in that moment by moment. You won't be doing the life-changing experiment at all. So, we have a will. There's another part of us that God created us to have, and that is that you have a mind. We all have a mind. Our mind is this kind of constant stream of thoughts and reactions and all that sort of thing. And it's kind of what we use to describe people. When you and I talk about somebody's temperament, we go, you know, they are an angry person. What we're really saying is they're somebody that's always having angry thoughts, and it comes out in angry words and angry actions. Or they're such a generous person. Well, what does that mean? That means their mind is always focused on, what can I give to somebody else? How can I bless somebody else? They're a generous person. Where does all that come from? It comes from our mind. And so understand how our mind, whether it's abiding in Jesus, remaining in Jesus or not, big impacts in our lives. Look at this next verse. This is Romans 8:6. And notice what it says. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You see, your thoughts can lead you in some really bad places. Your thoughts can lead you some really great places. All depends on where you're abiding, where you're remaining. Look at this next verse. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If you're going to remain abiding in Jesus, if you're going to bear fruit, then you've got to give Jesus your mind. Now, let me tell you, our mind tends to go all kinds of places. And so we have to give our thoughts, our mind over to Jesus and abide him and say, your will, not my will. Your thoughts, not my thoughts. So you have your will, you have your mind, and also you have a physical body. A physical body. We take this for granted, but it's really pretty amazing. You think about it. It is your first kingdom that you get to have. It's the first thing. I mean, if you say to your toe, move, it moves. It's kind of your first kingdom. And so it's kind of, you're in charge of that. A couple months ago, I did this class and we talked about leadership. And one of the things I said in this class was this. You know, some people say I'm a leader. Some people say I'm not a leader. But the truth of the matter is everybody's a leader. At the very least, everybody is leading one person, and that is themselves. You are leading yourself. You are in charge of yourself. And so our physical body is part of that we get to lead. It's part of that kind of process. Take a look with me at Romans 7:22-23. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body that wage war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. What he's saying here is we have a problem. We sin. And sin, we tend to act out with our physical body. But it starts other places. It's our mind, our will, our choices. That's kind of where it all starts. He says, I got this kind of war going on. We all got this war going on. Let me explain it this way. I'm in Las Vegas last week with our friends, Athlyn and I and our friends, and we go to a breakfast buffet in Las Vegas. Several people said, you got to go to a buffet at a hotel in Las Vegas. So we go to a breakfast buffet the last day that we're in Las Vegas. Let me tell you, we went to that buffet and we ate for about an hour. I mean, you got to get your money's worth. You know what I'm saying? So you know, we eat for about an hour. And then one of our group, and I'm going to keep them anonymous. One of our group goes, you know, I know we're all full, but I'm going to go get some ice cream. Because after all, you know, nothing better for breakfast than ice cream. I mean, in fact, why have people not discovered how great ice cream is for breakfast? So this person gets up and gets some ice cream after basically having eaten everything else on the buffet. Now, what's going on there? Well, a couple things. This is how it all works together. The body has said, I got an idea. We need more fat and sugar right now. Because we've only had an hour of fat and sugar. We need a little bit more. In fact, we've been staring at that ice cream all over this town of Las Vegas, and you've never gotten any. I want some. And the will goes, I'm good with it. Let's go for it. The mind has to come up with some explanations for this. The mind could go, guys, what are we thinking here? I mean, you know how many calories you've already had today? This anonymous person has already had. You know, we shouldn't do this. I mean, we're going to eat ice cream for breakfast? I mean, what are you thinking? But as these thoughts are kind of going through, the mind goes, okay, I'll tell you what, since you guys have already decided, I got to come up with some reasons for why we're doing this. So here's some reasons. How about this? And these are called rationalizations. We do this all the time. Hey, okay, well, you're on vacation. And you know, the idea of ice cream for breakfast, why hasn't that caught on? That should be something that catches on. That's a concept that people just haven't discovered yet. It is a great thing. Why do people not always eat ice cream for breakfast? You are not a pig. You are not a pig for doing this. You're just fun. You're just being fun. Just go for it. So the mind kind of jumps aboard. And so, you notice I haven't told you who this person is. Because I have taken a confidentiality oath as a pastor. And I cannot share with you who it was. But it wasn't my wife and it wasn't our friends. Just saying. That's how we do. We end up making some choices and then we figure out how to explain them away. And what is all that? We have to understand that we have these choices with our will. And we either abide or we don't abide at a much more important level as we follow Jesus. Now, yes, we have a will and we have a mind and we have a physical body, but we also have a soul. We have a soul. You have a soul. Now, the world will tell you that you are just a bunch of atoms, tissue, all that kind of stuff, but that is not true. You are a spiritual being. And the Bible very clearly says that we have a soul. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. But many times we focus in on everything else other than that. But Jesus wants us to know that's the part of us that will live forever. In fact, our soul affects everything about us. Take a look at a couple of verses out of Psalm 43 and then Psalm 103. Psalm 43:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Your soul can be downcast. Your soul can be lost. Your soul can be restless. But also, it can have an opposite reaction in your life. Notice this next verse. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. A soul can be joyful. A soul can find its rest in God. A soul can abide in Jesus Christ. And so it's our choice. We have this choice to make about our souls. And that's real important. That's the most important decision of life, of what you're going to do with your soul. But understand, if we're going to abide, remain in Jesus, all those parts of us, all those aspects of us need to abide in Jesus. It begins with, not my will, but your will be done. With the mind that we have, the thoughts that we have, we give those over to Jesus. Our physical body then needs to follow our will. But we say things like this, I wish I had more willpower. And we're kind of saying, in essence, you know, I need to be stronger about that. But really what you need to do is simply to remain, to abide in Jesus. Now, understand, it all comes back to the second principle. And the second principle is, it's not about your strength. It's not about you trying to work real hard. It is all about that everything, all is possible, anything is possible with God. Notice this next verse. Mark 10:27 says, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Some of you know this in a very real way today. You know where your life would have been without God changing you from the inside out, without you being transformed. You look at somebody named Simon in the Bible, and here's Simon who's pretty impulsive. He always says the wrong thing. Well, Jesus changes him from the inside out, and he becomes Peter, the rock. This guy is not solid in a great foundation at all in his life until Jesus. And some of you know where your life would be without Jesus. You're not perfect and you still mess up, and so do I. But you know where you'd be without Jesus. Because Jesus brings life change into our lives. Because with God, everything is possible. And the thing is that's most possible is a life can change. A life can change, and that's the greatest thing that can change in anybody's life. Take a look with me back at a verse where Jesus is in the garden, and notice what he says. This is going back to Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41, and notice what he says. Jesus asked the disciples to pray with him, and it says this, "And then he, Jesus, returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" That's kind of our battle. Jesus wants you to abide in him and remain in him, but we got this battle going on. And here in the garden, this is in the last week of Jesus' earthly life. Disciples couldn't even stay awake to pray with him as he's going toward a cross to die on that Friday that we call Good Friday. You see, in our own lives, we have to decide whether or not we will remain, whether or not we will abide. And so it comes down to bearing fruit, to understand what he has for us as we, moment by moment in our lives, abide in him, remain in Jesus. Now, I want to go back to John 15 and notice what it says in the 16th verse of that chapter. It says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Jesus goes, I chose you, I picked you, but I got a job for you, and that's to bear fruit. That's what he wants in all of our lives. He wants us to abide and remain in him so that we would bear fruit also. Now, I want you to notice something there. There's another aspect of prayer. I want to talk about that in just a minute. But I want us to think about also that God is not looking for people who are very talented necessarily or a lot of influence or very powerful. Lots of times we look at powerful, influential people and we go, if they would just follow God or if they would live for God, boy, they'd have such an impact. And that's true. But God's not looking for those folks because, see, that's dependent on our strength and their power and all about us. Instead, what it is, he's looking for someone who's willing to abide. That's all that God's looking for. Someone who says, I want to just depend on Jesus moment by moment in my life. And let me tell you, that person will change the world simply because they're willing to abide, love, and follow Jesus Christ moment by moment in their life. And so this verse talks about, verse 16 of John 15 talks about praying. There's a qualification, praying in his name. In other words, it's according to God's plan, according to God's will. But what are some things that we could pray for? And I made a list here, and I want to share this list with you. I think we should pray about several things as a church, as an individual. I think one of the things is we should pray for God's will to be done. In other words, that we would do what God would want us to do. I think we need to pray that we would be fruitful, that we would bear fruit. I think we need to pray that we would obey, Now, what's that going to mean? That's going to mean that we would say, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. God, I'm facing this. I want to do this. This is my kingdom. I kind of like it. I want it to be this way. But not my will, but your will be done. If we do that moment by moment, it changes everything. I think we pray for other people to come to know Jesus Christ, to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. As of today, since December, we've had 47 people commit their lives to Christ and to be baptized. There's nothing better than that. It's something that's so joyful, and to know their stories and to know how life changes come into their family and into their lives, I mean, it's an amazing, great thing. And we get to see it. We get to be part of it. And I got to tell you, if somebody says, why is that happening? I would point to the fact that there's a group of people in this church that are praying. There's some people that got together before this service and all three services today and prayed that God would do something great today. And we've had this group called The 100 that has been praying. It's more than 100 people, but who've been praying every day that God would just do great things among us and prayed for different things. And let me tell you, it's just simply, we just want to realize, prayer helps us realize it's not our strength. With God, nothing's impossible. If we don't depend on Him, everything is impossible. It's all about Him working and us abiding and us remaining in Him that we would do that. That we would have that kind of reaction. And so, it's all that process of moment by moment turning over to Him. Now, I think also, we as a church, beginning tonight at 7 o'clock in the Midland Center, there's something called Awake 714. You've been hearing about it. And all week till Wednesday, the community, all the churches are coming together to pray that God would do something great in our community. That lives would change, that people would turn to God, our nation would turn to God, that people all across our world would turn to God. And we have that opportunity to be part of that. I think we should be praying that way. That as God works, that He would work everywhere. And we have that kind of viewpoint and that kind of opportunity to simply pray about that process. I think we also need to pray for opportunities of service. That we go, Jesus, how can I serve you here? How can I serve you during my week? How can I serve you outside the walls? How can I serve you in my everyday life? How can I serve you? I just want to be obedient and to do that. See, it comes down to this relationship where we just simply remain and abide in Jesus, and then we have bearing fruit going on. And it's this moment by moment process where we change the way we think, the way we live, and the way we decide. Our will is not our will, but it's God's will. And if we do that, we will have the joy that can't be explained, because we'll see God at work in some great ways. And we want to pray that God would do that. If you'll take your connection card, I want you to look with me at your connection card for just a minute. On the back side of your connection card, on the left-hand side are some next steps. I want you to think about today, what is your next spiritual step? It might be the first one that says, I just need to abide in Jesus, and I've got to depend on His power for my life. It's not about you, it's about Jesus' power, not your power. It might be that second one, that you would say, I just want to pray that God does something great in all the churches in our area and our entire community, that God would just kind of sweep across this community and change us all, that we would get right with God. And it might be that third one, that you would be willing to say, I'm going to take this great opportunity, because we have a great opportunity. This is the Sunday before Easter, and next Sunday is the most likely Sunday anyone would ever go to church. And you've got some family members, some friends, some co-workers that you could invite and bring with you to church. And you can take that step of inviting them and bringing them next Sunday. Because you're just willing to do that, it might change their life forever. I want to challenge you to take the next spiritual step that God has for you today. And that you would follow Him. So let's pray together right now. With our heads bowed, in just a moment after I finish praying, you're going to have the opportunity to make your way out the back doors. And there's some folks with name tags who would be glad to visit with you about any commitment today, about you committing your life to Christ, or be baptized at our next baptism Sunday, which is in April. Or maybe to go all in here at the church and to become a member of Crestview. And it might be one of those next steps that I just went through and covered with you. And use this time just to let God tell you what your next step is. Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you so much that you love us enough, that you want us to have a relationship with you. I pray that we would abide in you, that we would remain in you in the way that you would want us to. Help us to do that. Help us to follow you and depend upon you in the way you'd want us to. And we pray that you would help us know how much you love us, and that we would live our lives moment by moment saying, not my will, but your will be done. And we know that that'll change everything. Help us to do that. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.